Awesome. Good morning, everybody. I am Craig, and my wife and my kids are not here this morning to champion me on in this service. So I'm looking forward to loud voices and hands raised, feet stomping, fists raised this morning for me. And don't you just love our pastor? Don't you love it that we have a pastor who has a really good singing voice, can worship, can praise, can get in there and can take that level that our incredible worship team does and carry that on and transition the service rather than having someone who comes up and goes, thanks everybody, and then we carry on with the service. It's awesome that we have a pastor who has such a strong faith, a love for worship and a love for us. We know that he prays for us. We know that he covers us in prayer. So thank you, Pastor Dawn, for who you are and what you do for us. We really love you. You know, as you are looking across the pews that we call these pews in the olden days, shows you how old I am, looking across the seats at people in the church, and maybe you're sitting in traffic and you're looking across the lanes at someone, maybe you're even looking across the bed at somebody, and you're thinking, I don't really know you. Hopefully not the last one, not the last one. But I mean, you know, you're looking and you're thinking, I don't really know everything that's going on inside your mind. Yeah, just reset that. Ooh, and that's a wrap. You know, you look at the other person and you think, I may know you from the outside. I may know the look. I may know the ethnicity. I may know the age. Morning, Pangu. I may know, you know, some experiences I've seen you before, but I don't really know you. I don't know you on the inside. I don't know every experience you've been through. I don't know the road you've traveled. I don't know the stations you've had to stop into, or maybe you've been forced off the road of life. I don't really know you. We might make a judgment, because not only do we not know the person deeply on the inside as God sees them, but we bring things to our seeing. So when I look at someone, I look through my emotional capacity, my spiritual growth, my history, my ethnicity, my culture. I look through my experiences. I look through things I may have heard them say or looks that they've given, and I judge them or interpret them or think I know the inside of them by on the outside and by what I'm feeling. And it might be that, you know, early this morning there was a big rush to get to church. The dog got in the way. Someone's, you know, you're going, we've got 5 minutes, and they're going, don't tell me! You know, there's somebody who's doing that to make you not push them on time. Not speaking from my own experience in any way. And so we bring these emotions and these interpretations and these lenses that we have. And also sometimes we bring to the looking at the other person extra things to help us see more clearly. So I haven't got on my license, must wear glasses when driving. I haven't got that. But I have an extra pair of glasses. They sit on my dash. Every time I drive, I put them on. I put them on so I can see more clearly. I put them on so I can see ahead. I put them on so that I can be safe, the people with me can be safe, so that I can make judgments about the road ahead. See what I did there? So I wear these glasses to see more clearly, and sometimes along that journey of life, not only do we put on physical glasses, but we sit down with someone who's more mature in the faith, someone who has some more years, some more miles on the odometer, someone who's been there, done that, someone who has some wisdom, someone who can help save us from the pain that we might be walking into, someone who can help us avoid that situation which might be coming up. So not only do we see like God sees the other person on the inside, because God does see on the inside as well as the outside, not only do we bring our own experiences, but we can also bring wisdom and other things to that experience of knowing the other. The thing is that God sees what we don't see. God sees something special, unique, intimate about that person. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see as if a mirror, dimly. But then, when Jesus returns, we will see face to face. For now, we only know and see in part. But then, I will know just as I am known. Then, when Jesus comes back, everything will be revealed. Everything will be seen. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would help us to see as you see. As we move towards Easter and we remember the pain, the sacrifice, the death, the resurrection, the life, the faith, the hope, the love, we want to extend and expand who you are. We want to expand your love through us, Father. We want to extend your kingdom through us, Father. We want to enlarge your reach to those around us. And Father, we want to see things as you see them. In Jesus' name, we all said. So this morning, this series is actually called Do You See What I See? And we don't always see what God sees, but we can get into agreement with God. So when I say, do you see as God sees, I want you to reply yes, because we need to get in agreement and ask God to give us his vision, to give us his insight, to give us the clarity that we don't have. So we need to then be looking to him to give us that insight into other people's lives, that we may help them in their real point of need. Do you see what God sees? All right, amen, amen. So today we get to look at a part of the Easter story. And a part of the Easter story is the Via Dolorosa. Now, I'd actually never heard of it until I was preparing for the sermon. So this is education for me. So the Via Dolorosa is a part of Jesus' journey. And it's from when he was condemned all the way to his crucifixion and his death on the cross and his burial. There is a physical road called the Via Dolorosa, the place where Jesus walked physically through Jerusalem on that part of his journey of life on here on earth. It's found in Luke 23 and Colossians 2. You see, we can see through the eyes physically this journey, and we can see what God sees in this journey. Up on the screen, you'll see a map of Jerusalem. This is a small part of Jerusalem, and these red dots along the Google map show you the 14 stations where Jesus stopped along the Via Dolorosa. There were 14 stages where he stopped. The first stop, the first stage of this journey, was when he was condemned by the officials of the day, condemned at the insistence of the Jewish leaders that he was worthy of death. He needed to be crucified, and yet he was innocent. Stage number one, station number one, was the condemnation to death. Station number two, Jesus receives the cross. Station number three, Jesus falls down the first time under the burden and the weight of the cross. Station number four, Jesus encounters his mother Mary. Jesus was the only one who knew what the journey was he had to take. Jesus was in the garden the night before he was condemned, and you'll remember he was praying fervently, praying with prayers and tears and blood sweating from his body. Even the friends who were with him didn't know the journey he was going to go through, but he knew. He knew the suffering and the pain. That's why he said, God, if you can take this from me, please do. But then in obedience, he said, but I'll do your will. The only other person who knew the journey, despite him telling the disciples parts of it along the way, they could only see dimly what he was saying. The only other person who knew was his mother Mary. Mary was prophesied to her that her heart would be broken and he would be caused to suffer. She too didn't see the full picture, but Jesus did. And yet he still chose to walk the journey for us on the Via Dolorosa. And when he met his mother, he looked at her and they knew. The fifth station is Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus to carry the cross. Station six, a woman wipes the face of Jesus. Station seven, Jesus falls down again, for the second time, the weight of the journey that he had to walk. Station eight, he speaks to the daughters of Jerusalem. Station nine, Jesus falls down the third time. Station 10, Jesus' garments are stripped off him. His clothing that is battered and torn and covered in blood and pieces of his flesh is ripped, is spat on. That clothing, that garment is torn from his body, and he is crucified. He's laid on the cross and the nails are driven in. Jesus' body, station 12, dies on the cross. Station 13, his body is taken down, the cross is taken down, and station 14, the body of Jesus is placed in the tomb. We're going to focus this morning, and we're going to see in the physical, and we're going to see with God's eyes, station number 5. We pick this up in Luke 23, and it'll be up on the big screen for you as well. Simon bears the cross. So when they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming into the city from the country, and they placed on him the cross of Jesus. Following him, Jesus, was a large crowd, including women who were mourning and wailing. And Jesus stopped. He turned and he said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children. For behold, the days are coming and they will say, 'Blessed are the barren,'" those who haven't had kids. "Blessed are those wombs that haven't given birth, the breasts that have never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" When you can look at that, you can look through physical eyes and you can see the pain and the suffering that Jesus is experiencing as he goes along the Via Dolorosa. And also you can see when he stops and be a little bit confused, what do these words mean? That verse 30 about the mountains falling and the hill is falling on us, that's an old Jewish saying. And what it means is this: if the innocent are forced to suffer, how much more so will the guilty? And so when you consider that, when you consider Jesus was the innocent, who was the guilty? Me. You. For every sin, for every disobedience, for every arrogance, for every unrighteous act, for every time we chose to act in our own will and not follow the will of God, whenever we chose to bow to the will of the world, to behave like it does, to indulge in all of the experiences that the world offers us, instead of living with the values of the kingdom, every time we do that, there is a sin that is listed on the certificate of debt. A debt. Just like the law of this land, if you break the law of this land, there is a consequence. On that certificate of debt that is on us for every sin that we make, there is a consequence, and that consequence is death. Jesus walked the Dolorosa. Jesus was hung on the cross. Jesus died and was placed in the tomb as a payment for our sin, for our pain, for our disobedience, for our arrogance. His walk, his journey was for you and it was for me. Jesus the innocent. We can see it physically and then we can understand it with God's eyes. Do you see as God sees? Do you see as God sees? Second Colossians helps us to see as God sees. Second Colossians will be up on the big screen. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, the worldliness, your manner of life, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven all of your sins, having cancelled out that certificate of debt consisting of the legal demands which were in force against us, which were hostile to us. This certificate of death, he set it aside. He completely removed it and he nailed it to the cross. When he did this, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities, the supernatural forces of evil operating against us. He made them a public example, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross." We can see physically Jesus walking along and being hung on the cross and dying. And then we can see with God's eyes. We can see the devil shaking, his knees knocking. We can see him quaking because he knows his time is up. He knows that his hold on the sins of people is being loosed from him. He knows that everything that you've done before, now, and the future, he knows the sin you've done, the sin I've done, is being taken off us, ripped off us, moved off us. The certificate is pulled off us and laid at the cross. We get to walk in freedom. We get to walk in liberty. Every chain that held us back has been loosed. Every bondage that was upon us is gone. Because why? Jesus is the victor. Jesus is in triumph. Jesus is our King. Do you see what God sees? So God calls us to see both in the physical and in the natural, so that every truth of every situation, of every station you've been in your journey, can be loosed from you. You can see up on the screen, there'll be a picture of just one day in the life of the Via Dolorosa, people walking through there, carrying a cross. We can see the Via Dolorosa physically and spiritually in different ways. There is the historical site we can see, and even the name Via Dolorosa means the way of suffering, the way of grief. We can see with historical insight, and we can see the journey step by step, minute by minute, moment by moment, as they go through the stations, as people walk through the stations carrying the cross. We can see historically, and what does it remind us of? Our own life, our own journey, the stations we've called into, the times we've been pushed off the road into a station we didn't want to be in, a station that maybe held us captive for years. It reminds us that there is freedom, there is hope, there is faith, there is love. Because why? What Jesus did. Do you see what God sees? Where Jesus walked through his life and his journey, we can see that and we can apply it to our own lives. I'm not going to be held back by what was spoken over me. I'm not going to be held back by the station that I walked through. I'm not going to be defined by the stations that I've passed through, the guilt, the shame. I'm not going to let that hold me back. Are you? Do you see what God sees? Do you agree with what God sees? This is the liberty we walk in every day when we trust in him and we see with God's eyes. We can have a pilgrimage view. The Via Dolorosa is very significant for its 14 stations for Christians and Catholics to walk along the journey. Believers symbolize it by carrying a cross, or carrying the cross metaphorically to connect with Jesus even in times of suffering. It's our willingness to carry the sufferings, the difficulties, the challenges of this world, but to not give in to them, to keep moving forward, to not choose citizenship of this world, where we give ourselves to the freedoms of this world, but we choose to restrict our freedom. Why? Because we are a citizen of heaven, a citizen of the kingdom. So we can look at it as a pilgrimage. We can look at it with symbolism. Each of the stations represents a moment of suffering, the condemnation, the falling under the weight of the cross, the meeting his mother. Can you imagine how heartbreaking that must have been? Yet the symbolism tells us that where others have hurt us, where we have been broken, where we have hurt others, where we have broken others, we can choose to forgive and we can choose to seek forgiveness. It's not just good enough to say, forgive me, forgive me. We need to forgive others as well. We need to release them just as they release us. Just as God has forgiven us, we need to forgive others. We need to let go of that baggage. The stations of the cross remind us of the hurting and the pain, but also when we see through God's eyes, we see reconciliation, redemption, and love. We can reflect, we can meditate, and use that kind of insight as we walk along the Via Dolorosa physically, or we walk along it in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit. Where Jesus' body was hung on the cross, and it was broken, and he died, and he was resurrected, we have hope because of the resurrection. We have a future because of the resurrection. We have freedom and new life because of the resurrection. Victory. And if we apply a cultural lens to it and see that this walking along that path is part of the culture of Catholicism, the hanging on the cross, the crucifixion was part of a culture of the day for punishment. Maybe you've been through your ethnicity or your culture as a child. You've been forced to take on board some traditions which have hurt you, which have upset you, which have broken your heart, which have pressured you, which has caused suffering. But because of what Jesus has done, we get to see through God's eyes. We get to pray redemption over our culture. We get to pray freedom over our culture. We get to declare Jesus' blood shed at the cross over our culture so that we can love our culture. We can learn the language. We can learn the dances. We can perform it. We can be involved and we can find new ways of expressing his love to those who only understand the culture. We can redeem our culture, whatever it is and whatever's been done to you. Because why? Jesus is risen. Ultimately, the Via Dolorosa reminds us of the love and the grace of God our Father. When we see through God's eyes, we see beyond the physical. Do you see what God sees? When we see through God's eyes, we see our journey differently. Where we see suffering, we can see victory. Where there is brokenness, where there is bondage, where there is oppression, where there is pain, where there is inequity, where there is exploitation, we can see through God's eyes. And we can see an opportunity for liberation, for comfort, for healing, for peace, for hope, for faith, for freedom. when we see through God's eyes. And here's the kicker. When you see through eyes differently, you act differently. When you see through God's eyes, you start to behave differently. Where are we being lazy in our faith? Where are we being lazy in our actions? Where are we being lazy in our responses? Where are we being lazy in our love? Where are we holding back the forgiveness we need to be forgiving? Where are we staying away from the people that we just don't like? Where are we choosing to not connect and share the love of Christ just because of what we see on the outside instead of seeing as God sees? We need to see victory. Colossians 2 tells us, when he disarmed those rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces that were operating against us, he made a public spectacle of them, exhibiting them as captives, not you. Them as captives, not you. The oppression against us is gone in the name of Jesus. When we face challenges, we need to ask God to help us see as he sees. If you've got financial hardship right now and you're focused on the financial struggle, the tight budget, the stress and the anxiety, that's how we feel as humans. But we can see it also through how God sees it. An opportunity for dependence upon him. An opportunity for trusting in his provision. An opportunity for seeing his abundance. An opportunity to experience his faithfulness. We may have health challenges. We're in pain, we're restricted, we're taking medicine. What does God see? A chance for liberation, for spiritual growth as we rely on him, as we declare his healing power, as we trust him to lead us deeper into faith and healing. Maybe we have relationship struggles and all we see is brokenness, absence, or guilt. What does God see? An opportunity to love as he loved, an opportunity to forgive as he forgave. An opportunity to receive forgiveness and let it go. We are called to be Jesus' hands and his feet. Salt and light, the light on a hill. We are called to be him to other people. Maybe we have a career setback. Maybe we've lost that job. Maybe we caused it. We can look at guilt upon ourselves, or we can stop and pause and say, I'm so sorry. And then we go, okay, Jesus. Maybe this is a reset moment. Maybe this is a time when you can reset my path. I'm not going to stay in the station. I'm going to move forward because you've called me to move forward. Jesus moved forward. Jesus moved forward on the journey. So God, I'm going to keep moving forward. Show me the place I need to be. Show me the people I need to be with. Give me the words that I need to say. Give me your sight so I can see where I need to be, so I can expand your kingdom and share your love. Do you see what God sees? Maybe there's a personal struggle, this internal battle, that's linked to identity, doubt, insecurity. What God sees is an opportunity for us to pause and say, Father, help me see me as you see me. Help me love me like you love me. Father, I love you. I need you. Please be with me. Because, you know, we can see ourselves as the world sees us, and we only see dimly. Only a little part of the picture. We can see as social media sees us, or as we see people on social media with the swiping left and right and up and down, very fast, making a judgment. God doesn't scroll up and down through our lives. He makes us his home screen on his computer. He puts a shortcut to the desktop for us. He makes us his main page. Why? He wants to sit with us, not scroll through our lives. He wants to talk with us, not scroll through our lives. He wants to have a conversation and for us to get to know him as much as he knows us, so we would see clearly. If we remember the prophetic word that was spoken to us by Pastor Don, that we are this year to enlarge the sight of our tent to make more, to stretch out the curtains and the dwellings and do not spare them, to lengthen the ropes of our tent, to make the pegs, those stakes, strong in the ground. We need to enlarge our vision. We need to see more than we see. We need to be open to growing our capacity to handle what God is going to bring. We need to stretch our faith and extend our reach. We need to strengthen the foundations of who we are by spending time in God's word, time in prayer, time with other believers. Men in Christ, Thursday night, 7 p.m. down in the cafe. We need to anchor our hope in what he's done in his journey. Without faith, there is nothing. But if we have faith and we don't see differently, we don't act differently. We need to see and act like people of his kingdom. Faith without action is stagnant. Let's step out boldly like the three amazing people that got baptized this morning. Let's step out. Let's declare our faith. Let's stand in the faith knowing that our journey is ordered by the Lord. Though we may go through stations, he gives us the strength to make it. He will call us and continue to let us see that there is a hope, there is a future, there is a promise, there is a way ahead for us. Why? Because you're his son. Why? Because you're his daughter. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because that certificate of sin is taken off you and you have liberty and you have freedom and you are his hands and his feet to take it to the people around you. As we come through Easter and come up to this time when we get to celebrate together and we see things physically, remember to see as God sees. Do you see as God sees? Maybe today you've walked in the door and you're stuck in a station. Maybe that station's a painful one, a disappointing one. It's a depressing one. Maybe it's one where you feel like you have no moment, no momentum, no movement forward. And maybe you need to take this day to say, God, I'm moving forward. Maybe you're moving forward, but the pain, the disappointment, the hurt, the brokenness from that station is still in your mind, the brokenness, the disappointment. Someone's let you down. And you're holding on to that unforgiveness. Today is the day to let that go with Jesus so you can move forward in the journey that God has got for you. Maybe you've walked in today and you've never met Jesus and this is all strange stuff. Today is your day to have freedom, to have liberty, to put a dividing line between your past and your future. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. I would ask everyone right now, just so we're not distracted, if you would close your eyes and bow your heads, let's just take a moment. If you know now is the time of reconnecting with God, moving out of that station or leaving it behind emotionally, you know Jesus, but you know you need to do it differently. We're going to pray together. I'm going to pray, and you can agree with me quietly. Father God, we love you. We see that you intend something different for our lives. So, Father God, where we have held on to something, where we have stayed in a place, where we've grasped onto the hurt and not let it go, where we've not forgiven, we let it go. We give it to you right now. We place it on the cross. We leave it behind and we declare, Father, that we love you and we want you to fill us afresh today with your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for holding back so we can take you to other people in Jesus' name. And while you've got your eyes closed, keep them closed and your heads bowed. If you are one of those people that today you walked in here and you know today is your day to give Jesus your lordship of your life, give your life over to him. Start afresh, clean slate. I want you to raise your hand right now, if that's you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those hands across the room. Please lower your hands. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a very simple prayer while your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed. It's not the words that save you. It's Jesus who saves you. And so everyone is going to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. I ask you to be the Lord of my life so I can walk in freedom. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a round of applause for a bold decision today.